We are praying for the people in Ukraine. We heard the tragedy of those who were traveling on a ferry in South Korea. I think over 300 students were there, and 200 went missing. And the parents still don't know anything about their kids. We're going on a field trip. And we as a church family, we can pray for them, can't we? And we think of our nation, and we think of our church, and the challenges that we are facing. And we also want to pray for our nation and for our church. Have you noticed inside your bulletin this morning, Tom and Francis Watson? We've been praying for them. And they share inside our bulletin insert here, "We would like to express our gratitude to our church family for all your heartfelt prayers and concern. We look forward to the day we can join you again in worship. Thank you for your cards, flowers, food, and prayers as we go through this difficult time. We are strengthened by the Lord's promises and claim them daily." We believe in prayer, the power of prayer. We've been studying in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, a powerful sermon shared by Jesus to each one of his disciples, where he presents the principles of the kingdom of God, where he presents to his disciples the practices that Christians, that those who claim to follow Jesus will do. And as it was read in our scripture reading, we will be talking about one of those practices called prayer. And brothers and sisters, there is power in prayer. God invites us all to pray. So take with me this moment to lift up one more prayer before our Heavenly Father. Father, we come to you because we have need of you. We long for you. And today, your people are here, opening their hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit. We ask that you will speak to us individually and invite us into a special communion with you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This weekend, millions of Christians are flocking to churches around the world. Many have started a process of asking for forgiveness, of doing pilgrimages to a holy site. Some have been even abstaining from certain foods. And some have decided to abstain from the internet, their favorite TV program, anything that they feel is taking too much of their time. All this in celebration of what? Christ's death and resurrection. But this is something that we believe we should be remembering once a week, once a month, once a year, every day, continually, what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he lays down the principles of his kingdom, principles that were practiced by the early church, principles that were practiced by the Waldenses, by the Huguenots, as they face dangers and tribulations, principles that we believe if we put into practice today, we will reap the benefits. Amen? And in Matthew chapter 6, a chapter that talks about how we can practice Christianity, how we can serve those around us, we find in the middle of this chapter Jesus' famous words, Jesus' famous prayer called the Lord's Prayer. You see, our Jesus understands human beings. He understands our heart. And for the most part, we center on ourselves. We look to what is best for me, Samuel Nunez. And Jesus, in the first verses of chapter 6, outlines several practices of the church. And he says, there are those who do good deeds. That's part of being a Christian. There are those who give offerings and alms to the poor. And that's part of being a Christian. There are those who even pray. And yes, that is part of being a Christian. But they are doing it for the wrong reasons. They are doing it to be seen by others. They are doing it to be noticed by others. They are doing it to be honored by others. And yes, they have received their reward. But you, when you pray, don't do it like the heathen who repeat things without really knowing what they're saying. But come to God secretly. Share with him. Pour your heart out to him. And he will reward you openly. Was Jesus against public prayer? In no way was he against public prayer. In fact, we find many times Jesus saying, Father, I say this out loud, not for my sake, because I know you answer prayers, but I do it for them who don't believe. Public prayer can be an opportunity to strengthen the faith of others, an opportunity to encourage the faith of others. In fact, Jesus invites us to pray for one another. Amen? And he invites us to use this powerful tool called prayer. And I confess, many times I find myself not praying too long, but praying too little, too short, praying on the run. There's something to do. While praying, putting my words quickly together and already thinking, oh, I need to do this and then call this person or talk to this person. And not take the time to actually converse, talk, speak with our Heavenly Father. In any conversation, we need time, don't we? Time to share, and also time to listen. God, what is your will? What is thy will? And really take the time to be in communion with God. I like the way Jesus presents this message. He presents these activities, these Christian activities, these acts of service, these acts of worship, but he connects it with prayer. Because I believe that those who serve well pray well. And those who pray well serve well. Because they are connected with Jesus. This week I had the opportunity to share with the middle school kids from EAA. And I shared with them this passage from Spirit of Prophecy, middle school kids. And this is what it said. The Lord is waiting to manifest through his people his grace and power. But he requires that those who engage in his service shall keep their minds ever directed to him. Every day, not every week, not every month, not every year, but every day they should have time for reading the Word of God and prayer. Every day, take the time to read the Word of God and to pray. Well, what is this prayer? Steps to Christ tells us prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. And Jesus, in this passage, invites us to call God our Father, our Heavenly Father. How do we approach our friends? How do we approach our Father? I hope we approach them eagerly. I hope we approach them boldly. I hope we approach them the way we are. Isn't that how our friends know us? Our true friends? We trust them. We can share with them. We can talk to them about what's going on in our life. And they are ready to do what, brothers and sisters? They're ready to listen and be in communion with us. In fact, we see Jesus praying over and over again through the Gospels. And we find him using that word, our Father. Not just my Father, but our Father. And as I pray and as we come to God together, we can pray for each other. Because what I need, most likely, you need to. Our Father, which art in heaven. There's nothing greater than our Father, our Heavenly Father. There's nothing bigger than him. From his vantage point, he can see what's happening in your life. He can see the beginning from the end. And we can come to him. And we can pray to him. The Bible tells us that even before we ask him, he already what? Knows. Even before we ask him, he already knows what we need. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praised be thy name. Blessed be thy name. You are worthy of our praise because of what you have done. Through Jesus Christ. Amen? We can approach God by giving him thanks, by praising his names for the blessings received. Thy kingdom come. Isn't that the need of our world today? God's kingdom to come? Isn't that what we are all hoping to see very soon? And Jesus invites his disciples to pray, God, thy kingdom come. We're waiting. We're anticipating that great day when you will come again. But today I want to focus on this particular section of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Is that always easy to accept, brothers and sisters? Thy will be done. It's not always easy to accept. But we can accept it when we trust the person who is doing something for us. Amen? When we truly trust that person, we can say, Thy will be done. Because we know that that person has the best interest for us. Wants to see us thrive. Wants to see us prosper. Wants to see us being happy. And if there's something that God wants to see for His people, is to see them happy, to see them prosper, to see them thrive. Amen. Thy will be done. Jesus prayed that prayer. And we remember that He prayed it right after He had had dinner with His disciples. To one of them, He said, You will betray me. To the other one, He said three times, You will deny me. To the rest of the disciples, He told them, You will leave me behind. You will all run away. To all of them, He said, The end is near. I'm going to die. And then He got up and went to this very special section outside the city, this special place, a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there He prayed one of the most powerful prayers, not a very long one in words, but a prayer that reflected this prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. He said, Father, in the book of Luke. In Matthew, my Father. In the Gospel of Mark, Abba, Dad, Father. If you will that this cup pass from me, but not my will, but what, brothers and sisters? But your will be done. How many of us would approach a governor, a president, a king, and say, Hey, Dad? We wouldn't. Unless He was our dad. And Jesus invites us to approach our Heavenly Father with confidence, with boldness, to use the time to be in communion with Him. And before He gave His life on that cross, on that Friday, Jesus exclaimed those words, Dad, Father, if it's your will that this pass, but not my will, but for the sake of Samuel, for the sake of Carolina, and you can include your name there, for the sake of all of your children, not my will be done, but yours. How could Jesus do this? Because Jesus trusted His Heavenly Father with everything. He was willing to surrender all to God. And even if he didn't understand exactly where this was all going at the moment that he was there in that garden, he was sure that whatever his Heavenly Father decided was the best for him. There was nothing better that he could choose. Thy will be done. It's easy when things are going well. But what then when things are not so well? Some of you know that a few weeks ago, it's now almost a month, my father-in-law passed away. And the week before, there were decisions that needed to make on a daily and it seemed like an hourly basis. What do you do now? What do you do now? What do you do now? Options, one, two, three, four. Sometimes no options. Brothers and sisters, God's will be done. Amen. And when it's done, there's peace. You see his mighty hand leading, guiding through that situation. And at the end, you come to the end and you look back and you go, God, thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for the way you set things up. Thank you that your will was done. We would have not wanted it any other way. Surrender. Is that easy for us human beings to do? We don't like to surrender. We like to win. But it was a small kid who taught me the importance of surrender. I don't know if he was in kindergarten or in first grade. I can remember, I think I was in fifth or sixth grade. He was my neighbor. He'd just come from the country of Argentina with his parents. Dad was going to the seminary. And this little kid, he liked to play hide and go seek. Said he would knock on the door. Sam, you want to play hide and go seek? Sure, let's play hide and go seek. And I was the one who was supposed to count, of course, right? And so I go count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 10. And I would turn, ready or not, here I come. And as soon as I turned around and said, ready or not, here I come, he would start yelling, aquí estoy, aquí estoy. Here I am, here I am, here I am. And I would come and say, you're not supposed to say, here I am. Just stay quiet and wait till I find you. But if it just being alone, and it was not fun for him. He had to be with somebody else. This idea of hiding is not the way it's supposed to work. And don't we many times play hide and go seek with our Heavenly Father? But instead of saying, here I am, we stay quiet. We don't share. We think we can do this on our own. And we carry a heavy, heavy burden. When we could come to him and share with him. Because guess what? He wants to hear. He wants to listen. He's interested. He knows what you're going through. And we might feel like, wow, well, what am I going to say for 10 minutes or 15 minutes in the presence of the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Talk to him as you do to a friend. I remember my sister. I don't know how she did this, but she did it. She was going out with who today is her husband, Hugo Leon. I thought her ear was going to fall off. She could talk for 2-3 hours on that phone. Wow! She would do this, and then, of course, this, change it around. Do you think she said the same thing over and over again? She probably talked about what happened that day, and then the day before, and the day before, and the plans they had for tomorrow. That's what God wants to hear. He wants us to commune with Him, to share with Him what's happening. But to do that, we need to do what, brothers and sisters? Surrender. God, I'm here. I don't understand everything that's happening. My will? Wow. If I had it my way, this is how it would work. I think it's perfect. But again, not my will, but yours. In the book Steps to Christ, we find this powerful quote. The soul that turns to God for its help, its support, its power, by daily earnest prayer, will have noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth and duty, lofty purposes of action, a continual hungering and thirsty after righteousness. By maintaining a connection with God, we shall be enabled to diffuse to others, through our association with them, the light, the peace, the serenity that rule in our hearts. The strength acquired in prayer to God, united with persevering effort in training the mind in thoughtfulness and caretaking, prepare one for daily duties and keeps the spirit in peace under all circumstances. How could Jesus do this? How could he serve the way he served? Because there was no one who prayed the way he prayed. And how did he pray the way he prayed? Because he trusted God like no one else. My invitation for us, church family, my invitation to myself, to take the time to talk to your Heavenly Father. He's dying to hear from you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to share with you the blessings from heaven if we will take the time to pray. Will you take the time? Praise God. Amen.